Hi, this is Jared. I'm going to give a talk about a FIRST Robotics competition. FIRST is an organization. Its acronym stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. And the FRC, FIRST Robotics Competition, pairs high school students with professionals, engineers, designers, scientists, programmers, plus teachers, who work side by side for 6 weeks to design and build a robot from scratch. Every year the competition is brand new. There's different rules for the robot, different rules for the game. Each game is usually a short 2-minute game, multiple scoring possibilities. And recently the games have been played with two alliances, a red alliance and a blue alliance. Each alliance made up of three different teams. Each team is a corporate-sponsored high school or a group of high schools. From the FIRST program, though, the robotics competition is really a gimmick. The idea is to promote technical professionals as rock stars or athletes. In the FIRST community, the three main rock stars are Dean Kamen, Woody Flowers, and Dave Lavery. Dean Kamen, you know, from developing things like the Segway two-wheel self-balancing scooter, the Luke prosthetic arm. Recently he's come up with a ultra water purifier, and originally back in the 90s he developed a portable insulin pump. Woody Flowers, you may have seen on a Scientific American PBS show. He was the host of that for a few years, and he's a professor at MIT. And Dave Lavery is a guy from NASA, where he has the awesome title of Director of Planetary Exploration. The competition every year has very tight constraints. The rules for the robot, the rules for the game, including the scoring and penalties, and it's a short, very intense schedule. 6 weeks. Everyone learns the rules and begins at the same time at the kickoff event, and everybody must box up and ship their robot out by the same deadline, 6.5 weeks later. Every team has a limited budget to spend on the actual robot, with limitations on the total cost plus limitations on the cost for individual components. And then it's very difficult. You're constrained time-wise to balance the time you spend in meetings during a construction versus real-life demands. Mentors have work obligations, students have school obligations, exams. The construction season is January to mid-February, so everybody who has winter weather has those considerations. There are plenty of times when teams are shut out of facilities because of winter weather. It's also flu season. You always have to deal with things like that, plus other family obligations that come up. There's also the balance individual teams have to deal with versus in terms of what we call referred to as the science fair versus the NASCAR. So on the science fair side of things, you have the kids doing everything, and on the NASCAR side of things, the mentors do everything and the kids just drive. When the kids do everything, that's fairly limited. High school students just have a limited amount of knowledge and experience and can only build things so far. So teams might feel good about themselves that students are making all the decisions, but it's very limiting to what they can and can't do. Where on the NASCAR side of things, and the adults do everything, there's always a sort of underlying question, well, what are the kids actually learning? So most teams are in the middle of that and vary where they fall on that scale year to year, sometimes day to day, depending on who's there. More kids than mentor help. Kids do a lot of the work, and when it's a strong mentor day, kids are more on the learning side of things. And since the game rules and a robot rules are new each year, there's tends to be a good balance between veteran teams and rookie teams. So experience can be an advantage in anticipating problems, but solving them really can be on a level playing field. The competition itself, to me, always seems like a combination of a dance party, a pep rally, and a bunch of short, fast boxing match rounds. Matches go very, very fast. Most of the time in recent history, they've been less than 2.5 minutes long for each one. And you compete in multiple matches over the course of a competition, but they go very fast. There's regional competitions all around the country all through the month of March and into April, and then the championship event this year is in St. Louis at the end of April. There's really two themes of FIRST. The terms that they use are cooperation and gracious professionalism, with the idea being that your opponent in one match may end up being your ally later on. So you want to play hard, but you want to help each other out, and you don't want to destroy the other team. You want to beat them soundly. And matches are really fun only when you have good opponents. And then the other part of gracious professionalism is that you always want to do things that would make your grandmother proud. In the competition, there's qualification rounds that go a day and a half. So usually you get about 6 to 8, maybe more, opportunities to play a match over that day and a half of qualification. And the alliances are randomly selected. So the three teams that make up the Red Alliance and the three teams that make up the Blue Alliance are put together randomly. The teams will try to meet with each other to form strategies for a match, although usually that falls apart because the opponent doesn't always cooperate with the strategy you've put out. But most teams have groups of kids scouting their opponents and teams that might end up being their future allies. And especially recently, there's a lot more effort that goes into this. Teams are scrutinizing other competitors a lot more. Anyway, wins and losses determine rank, but within the rank, they have a system of qualification points, which is based on the losing alliance's score. So when you win, it doesn't help, and it actually hurts if you go out and crush them 100-1. Instead, you want to win 100-99. And then after qualification, they have an elimination tournament, so they seed the 8 highest ranked teams in order of their ranking, and they pick alliance members. So there's a little bit of the scouting data comes into that, performance. There's always some politics that falls in that too. But in the elimination tournament, there's with 8 alliances of 3 teams each, there's 25 teams that go into the elimination tournament. Usually the best of 3 advances to the next round. So 8 teams drop down to 4, 4 teams play to 2, and then those final 2 teams, and you end up with the regional winner. In the elimination tournament, the key thing is that the games are turned around very, very fast. Sometimes you have just minutes in between playing matches, where during qualification you might have an hour. So robots have to be built very robust, and the team has to be very well organized in order to handle that. At the end of each day during a competition, they hand out awards, but only 4 of these awards are based on how you actually do in the competition. They award the highest seed. They also award the highest rookie seed. They award the winner of the competition as well as the finalists, the second place. And then there's another dozen or so awards that they hand out. Some are based on the robots, so they have design awards, awards recognizing outstanding construction, creativity, sportsmanship during the competition, whether it's during actual matches or helping each other out in between matches. Teams that show safety considerations. There's competitions for the the team's websites. And then the top prizes, again, have very little to do with the competition itself. They recognize the team's efforts in community outreach and spreading the message of the first organization. And they are just as important, if not more important, than winning matches. The judges who handle these awards are professionals or retired professionals. The matches are controlled by referees. Logistics are handled by volunteers. There's a group of technicians from the first organization who actually run the technical side of the competition, the field management system and everything else, along with the field staff. And then there's also regional first employees who help sort of pull everything together. At competitions, usually in the morning or sometimes after lunch, there's VIP speakers. And each of the awards also recognizes corporate sponsorship that help put everything together and pay for everything. The first organization is a nonprofit, so everything that they get is through corporate sponsorship. Each team, group of high schools, is usually sponsored by companies, whether they're international large companies or small local companies, or other local organizations that charitable organizations, plus parents, and then any fundraising that they do. Teams are usually involved in community service projects, and they also provide role models for kids in younger grades. And there are some other first run competitions for junior high and younger students too, and lots of times the high school students are role models and involved in those. There's also tons of scholarship money that first participants, high school kids, can get from engineering or science or tech-based schools. The schools realize that kids that come out of a first program have an incredible amount of experience, and companies will contribute to that too, can contribute to supporting teams, because they realize that after 4 years of college, they're going to have top recruits coming out of school, you know, with just an incredible experience. So it's really one of those, the thing that I love about it is that it's an after-school program, but it answers lots of those questions that high school kids will ask, you know. So this is what math is for. Or physics, or programming, or expository writing, or shop class. You can apply all that stuff in an after-school program like this. So when you ask, when am I ever going to use this in real life? Well, here's the answer to that. And also, I think, opens kids' eyes. So when you look around at all the stuff that's around you, you start to realize that that was all designed and manufactured by someone. And in fact, if you take it a step further, everything that was manufactured, the process of manufacturing the stuff was designed and developed. The first robotics competition started back in 1992 with just a handful of schools. Now there's thousands of teams across America, Canada, Central and South America, teams in Europe. There's teams in Israel. There's competitions in Israel and nowadays. I'll provide links to notes on previous games, videos, and there's a lot. If you search for First Robotics on YouTube, you'll see tons of stuff there. My own personal involvement, back in 2000, I was living outside of Philadelphia, and one of my college roommates was living in Massachusetts, and he had joined a team. He was working for Compaq, which got bought by Intel, and he joined a team that they were sponsoring, and we had talked a little bit about the design process during their construction season, and turned out that the first competition that they were going to was in Philadelphia at Drexel University. So I took some time off to work and went down there. That was their rookie year, and they had a they struggled during the construction season. They actually shipped their robot incomplete, unassembled, and had no time to test it. So I went down there, and while I was helping assemble the robot, that was the first time I actually met everybody on the team. They ended up doing very well that year. They ended up ranked high enough to pick partners during the elimination rounds, which was, we had no idea what we were doing that year, but it was awesome. The following couple of years after that, I would travel up to Massachusetts during the construction season, give them a hand where I could, but actually got some hands-on stuff during the construction, and then traveled around to a few of the competitions that they went to. Then I finally smartened up and found a team near me. Team 708, when I joined, was in their second year. Initially, it was just one high school. They were sponsored by Motorola. Since then, we've grown to two high schools, sometimes three, depending on other kids that join. And we have multiple sponsors. We have now have a solid core of really experienced mentors and a reasonably good number of students that come out each year, plus returning alumni that are now in college that are local or spend their time when they're back on winter break helping us out, which is outstanding for us in our program. The Philadelphia area itself is strong. There are some outstanding programs in this area, teams that have won national recognition for the programs that they have. So in this area, both the number of schools that are participating and the level of competition at the Philadelphia regional competition or the New Jersey, there are other teams, other strong teams who actually travel to this area for the competition. I'll put some links in the show notes to help find competitions or teams that are near you. Every regional competition can always use volunteers, and most teams will welcome new mentors. So if you're tech-minded, whether you're electrical or mechanical engineer, programmer, IT stuff, or just a designer, I have no training in any of this stuff. I'm a biochemistry major and work as a cell biologist at a biotech company. What do I know about building robots? Although we've used that in the past as sort of a recruiting tool. So, well, if I can figure it out, you guys can figure it out. But anyway, most teams will really welcome new mentors and new help. There's always something that has to be done. It may not be the glamorous job at the beginning, but it's definitely worth the time to spend in it. And I'll tell you, it's easier to join in the fall or even in December than it is in January and February. Once the construction season kicks off in early January, teams are off to the races, and it's difficult to learn the whole community while you're also trying to design and build robots. And for those of you that are already on teams, I definitely wish you good luck as the construction season comes around and into the competitions in the spring. So I'll put together some shows later on with a little more specifics about the construction, some of the different components that we get to build the robots, the rules that go along with that, but the components, the electrical platforms, and the fundamentals that work behind that, some of the software and the field management system, I think is absolutely fascinating. And even the design process that we go through, whether we're going to have a specific robot or we're going to have one that does something really well or try to do it all. And I can talk about some of the various games that have happened in the past. Like I said, each year the game is different, so there are some fairly common things that have been carried along for the past few years, but year to year you never know what's going on. And talking about some of the processes that we go through during the construction season, I think is fascinating and is always loads of fun. Anyway, if you have any questions, contact information will be in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net. So head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.